Already? I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Samuel 2:2. So we had last left off that so Shmuel has died, and now it falls upon David to somehow to try to put together the nation and get everybody on the same page. Now remember, as we said last time, a lot of people were against David. A lot of people supported Shaul. A lot of people were trying to get David killed. And it would be understandable if David, when he became to power, would not look kindly on the people who wanted him dead, right? The supporters of the previous administration. And therefore, David is trying very hard to pull everybody together and to say, you know, listen, don't worry about it. I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, everything's okay. So if you remember last time, what did he do? There was the fellow who tried to, who announced that he had killed Shaul, and because of that, David turned around and said, you know, I'm going to have none of this. I support Shaul. I'm a big fan of Shaul's, and therefore everybody else who supported Shaul has nothing to worry about. Right? That was his approach at the time, and in fact, he killed the guy who supported Shaul. So, you know, this was the idea behind it, that everyone should not be worried about supporting David. So let's take a look at this parak. Vayhi acharechein, vayishal David ba'adonai le'mor, ha'ale ba'achas ha'rei Yehuda, vayomar adonai lov, ale, vayomar David an'ale, vayomar chavrona. If you remember, David had taken with him, he had his own Kohen, and he had his own Urim V'Tumim, and he had the opportunity to ask questions to God. So he said to God, where do I go from here? He said, you know, here I am in the Plishi. Do I make my triumphant return to Israel? Right, do I cross over the border into Yehuda? And God said, yeah, that would be a good idea. He said, which city in Yehuda in particular? He said, go to Chevron. Chevron would be the way to go. Little bit of a comment on this. If we look at the source sheet, right, there is a special status of something that are called Arei Yehuda, things that are considered specifically the cities of Yehuda. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Haroe Arei Yehuda bechorbanam Omer Arei Kodshecha Hayu Midbar veKoreya. We have a tradition, many people, that when we go to the Kotel nowadays, we tear Kriya. Right, you'll see sometimes people are at the Kotel, they have a torn shirt. That's because we are mourning, like a person, God forbid, loses a close relative. They tear their clothing. So too, you're by the Beis HaMikdash. You're looking up where the Holy Temple is supposed to be, and there's a mosque instead. It is appropriate at that point that a person should go and tear Kriya, that they should tear their clothing. We do this on the Temple Mount. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't just say by the Makom HaMikdash, but any of the Arei Yehuda, any of the cities of Yehuda. So what are the cities of Yehuda? So the Mishnah Berurah says, V'lo Arei Yisrael, specifically Yehuda. Now, how many cities can we name for Yehuda? Obviously, Jerusalem is one of the Arei Yehuda. What is another city in Yehuda? So we just here had a pasuk and said Chevron. So it sounds from this that if a person goes to Chevron, they should rip Kriya as well. I've never seen anyone do that. Why not? So if you look at the Shari Tshuva, number 3 says, even though it says specifically in the verse that we just read that Chevron is one of the Arei Yehuda, right? It says, Harari Yehuda v'kiv Birke Yosef Rishay Mazab Bala Chesel Avram Shekasa Noga Om Shalomi Kral Chevron Tibana Vitikanabim Herabi Amenu. Said for some reason, he said, people don't tear Kriya on Chevron. Why not? Isn't it one of the Arei Yehuda? So he says, Shemati B'Shem Gedol Mokhisha Chevron Me Arei Miklat Shenidnu Balav Me Arei Yehuda Mikri. It says that even though Chevron was located in Yehuda proper, actually it was, if you remember, we spoke about this a little bit on Thursday night, Levi never got a portion of the land of Israel. Instead, they got 48 cities. 42 of them were what we call Arei Levim, and the other 6 were Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge that if somebody murdered accidentally, they would go to. Chevron was one of the Arei Miklat. So the argument is that since it was an Arei Miklat, even though it was located in Yehuda, it's still really one of the Arei Levim, and that's the reason why we do it. So the Shari Tshuva says, that's pretty weak. He says, and in fact, I don't think you should rely on that. Why shouldn't you rely on that? Well, the reason you shouldn't rely on that is because we just hear God's called it. He said, God, David said, should I go to one of the Arei Yehuda? And the Urim V'Tumim said, yeah. And he said, which one? He says, go to Chevron. So you see from here clearly that God calls it one of the Arei Yehuda. So basically, you know, it's hard to argue with God. So based on that, it's a hard argument to say the reason that we don't do Kriya, the reason that we don't tear our clothing when we come to Chevron is because it's not one of the Or Yehuda. That's a very weak answer. Okay. Bottom line for our story, back to the Navi. It says, Pasuk Beis, Vayal Sham David V'gam Shtei Noshav Achinom HaYisraelis V'Avigayel Eishes Nava HaKarmeli. So there he goes, him and his two wives, Achinoam and Avigayel. Avigayel, we remember from earlier on, Avigayel was married to Nava. And him and his family, they come back from the Plishtim and they go to Chevron. So everybody who was with him, his entire group, they all moved to Chevron. And so in fact, all of the people from Yehuda get together and they say, okay, David is the new king, and they anoint him. Okay, this is already the second time, not the final time, that David is going to be anointed, and he is anointed by the people from Shevet Yehuda. Now, David was particularly popular in Yehuda. Why was David popular in Yehuda? Out of all the Shvatim, why did Yehuda like him best? So the reason was because David was from Shevet Yehuda. Right? So these were his, they figured he's one of theirs. And because he's one of theirs, it's interesting, I was reading an article today in Business Week. And I don't know if people are familiar with the governor of Montana. Can anyone name the governor of Montana? Marsha, can you name the governor of Montana?
No, not right off.
He was running for president.
At one time he was running for president?
Yeah, at the time he's a Democrat. His name is Steve Bullock. So it was an article about Steve Bullock.
I don't remember him.
The reason I read this article today about Steve Bullock is because Steve Bullock and I were actually classmates.
Oh, Bullock? B-U-L-L-O-C-K?
Yep.
Nah, I don't remember.
Yeah, so we, me and him, were in
yeshiva. Oh, when were you classmates?
In yeshiva together. We were chavrusas.
No, not
really in yeshiva. We were in law school together, actually.
Uh-huh.
And he's running now for a Senate seat. He's already a two-term governor, and he's running for Senate. It's funny. I had a very close friend in law school, Avi Schick. He's gone on to an illustrious career as an attorney. He's a partner in a big firm, and he used to tell me we got to be friendly with Steve. He said because Steve's from Montana. And if you're from Montana and you're in Columbia Law School, you're going to be at least a senator. And there'll be a day where there's going to be some vote for Israel. And we're going to need the ability to pick up the phone and say, hey, Steve, haven't spoken in a while. I need a favor from you.
Right.
And I was laughing. I always told everyone, see, Avi was wrong. He's not a senator.
He's a governor.
Right, so the joke is he's running for Senate now. So in Montana, like the ultimate rank out is if you're from another state. Right, so this is a big deal because both him and the guy he's running against have both been in Montana for generations. So too by David HaMelech, you like the local boy. So he goes to Yehuda, and Yehuda, of course, they announce that he'll be the king. Now, not only that, but after they make him the king, they say, you know, there are the people from Yavesh Gilad. They are the people from the other side of the Jordan. And who are the people from Yavesh Gilad? They were the people, if you remember, who buried Shaul. Remember, Shaul was decapitated. They hung his head on the wall. And these people went and they snuck back his body. So David in Pasuk Hei says that's something that should be noted. He said, blessed are you that you did this for him. He says, God should reward you and I will reward you as well. And He said, be strong. I know it's very hard for you that you lost Shaul. Shaul was a great king, a great leader of yours. And note that I am the new king in Yehuda. Now, why, again, once again, this fits in with the pattern that we've discussed, right? Here, these are people who clearly supported Shaul. Shaul, if you remember, had led a great battle for them. Clearly, they supported Shaul. And David was making it clear, I have no beef with Shaul. I am not against Shaul. I support Shaul. I support you people who supported Shaul. Shaul was the rightful king. And anybody who supported him, as long as he was king, has nothing to worry about. So again, this is obviously the way that he actually believed, but more than just the way he believed, this was a statement he was making in order that people should be clear, right, politically, that even if you supported Shaul, you should not be worried about turning around and supporting me. Now, not everyone buys this. If you remember, at one point, 2 points actually, David came very close to killing Shaul. One time he tore his cloak. Another time he took from him his wash basin and his spear. And each time he called out to the general of Shaul to say, you're not doing your job. Who was the general of Shaul? Does anyone remember? For 5 extra points on the final?
Is this Abner? Or is that who you're
correct.
Talking?
It was Abner. Excellent. 5 points for Marsha on the final.
Well, it says so right there.
Right. That's also so. So it says in the next pasuk. But yes. I think Marsha remembered it anyhow. It says, the Abner ben Ner Sartzavashal Shal Lokach is Boshes ben Shalvei Machanayim. So Abner said, nah, David's not going to be the king. David is not the rightful king, but rather the monarchy should stay with the house of Shaul. And therefore he took Ish-bosheth, who is the son of Shaul, and he took him out to Machanayim. What does he do there? Vayamrichu el Gilad vel Ashuri vel Israeli vel Ephraim vel Binyamin vel Kol Yisrael Kula. He announces that Ish-bosheth is now the king. And he does this in Binyamin, right? Binyamin is just north of Yehuda. Shaul is from Binyamin. Binyamin was always, of course, huge supporters of Shaul. And he says, he is the king of, forget about Yehuda, he's the king of the rest of Israel. So here we are. We have two people that are running around, both of them claiming to be the king of Israel. Now, if we go to the source sheet, we'll see that this, in fact, was not the right thing to do. Ultimately, Abner is going to be punished. Abner is going to be killed. Why does Abner get killed? So if we switch to the source sheet, or if we don't switch to the source sheet, and I just switch to the source sheet, we will see. We will see. The Gemara says, my time at Yanish, why was Abner punished? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Shoshal Malchus Beis David Shtayim Shanim V'Mechsa. This was the time where he should have already been in charge, and because he pushed off things for 2.5 years, right, therefore Avner gets punished. This was wrong. Shaul had the right to be the king as long as he was the king, but now it was time to move on. If you look at Tosfos says that even though there was a guarantee that there would be 2 generations out of Shaul, this wasn't the time for it. Okay, so we've got a problem here. We have 2 people that are running around Israel, both claiming to be the rightful king of Israel. It's not a healthy situation to have. It's like the old joke. We'll talk a little politics, Ted. If you remember, Gore versus Bush in 2000, right? Nobody knew what to do. So they finally remembered, it ended up in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court didn't know what to do. So the Supreme Court said, you know, let's go to the Jewish justices. You'll go to Ginsburg. We'll go to Breyer, you know, and we'll ask them, Kagan, we'll say, ask them, you know, help us out here. Figure out who you guys are smarts. So they couldn't figure it out. So they decided they're going to go to the Hasidim and they would ask them. So they first they went to the Vizhnitzers. So the Vizhnitzers says, why do you need one? Like, we have two Rebbes. So you have one will be the president of the Northeast and the other will be the president of the Southwest. That's it. You'll divide it. They went to Breslov. And Breslov says, what do you need a president for? We haven't had a Rebbe for hundreds of years. Keep on using the old one. Then they went to Lubavitch. They said, what should we do? Lubavitch says, what's wrong with John F. Kennedy? Thank you, Marcia. You've been a great crowd.
I know. I am.
Okay. So we've got a problem, and the problem is going to reach ahead pretty quickly, as we'll see. So Pasuk Yud, Ben Arba'im Shana Ishboshes Ben Shaul V'Molcho Al Yisrael V'Shtei Shami Malach Ach Beis Yehuda Hayu Achrei David. So Ishboshes is 40 years old. He, in fact, is running the entire Israel, except for Yehuda is following David. Now, Vayehi Mispar Yamim, Asher Yadavid Melech V'Chevron Ben Al Beis Yehuda Sheva Shanim V'Sheish Chadoshim. David ends up staying in Hebron for 7.5 years. We'll have to figure out how these numbers work out. Vayetze Avner ben Ner, v'Avde Ishboshes ben Shaul v'Machanayim Givona. So one day, Avner and his army, yeah, there's two kings, there's two armies, and they're going from Machanayim to Givon. At the same time, Givon, Yoav ben Tsruya, the general of David, they both stop at the same rest stop, basically. And they're both sitting on opposite sides of the water. So Yoav says, well, let's see who has got the stronger armor. How about a little bit war games here? So Yoav says, bring it on. Vayakumo vayavru ben mispar shnei masar levinyamin leish boshes ben shol shem basar miavdei David. So each of them chooses 12 of their top soldiers and they pit them against one another. Vayachaziku ish berosh re'ehu v'charbo v'tzad re'ehu v'ayipo yachta v'ikra v'akom ho'o chokas atzurim asher b'givon. So they start off with sort of in a wrestler's pose. They're each holding the head of the other, and they each have a sword on their side. And they fight. Things got very serious very quickly. And in fact, Avner and his people fell before David. So things got very bad, as we said. So they all of a sudden they are fighting one another.
How do we know it's David's soldiers that win?
So if you look at Pasuk Yud Zayin, right?
Okay.
What does the verse say?
And they came forward and counted off 12 for Benjamin and Ishbosheth, son of Shaul, and 12 from David's soldiers.
That was 15.
I'm sorry, is that not what you wanted me to read?
No, keep on going. Read two more.
Okay, each one grasped the opponent's head and thrust his dagger into his opponent's side. Thus they fell together. That place, which is in Gibeon, was called Helketh. I can't pronounce that. Helketh Hazarim?
Helketh Hatsurim.
Hatsurim, okay.
Okay, now the key is 17, as we said. Next one.
Sorry, I went back too far. Okay, the fierce battle ensued that day, and Avner and the men of Israel were routed by David's soldiers. That's how we know.
Yeah, so you don't need to read too much into that.
Got it.
Okay, so all of a sudden, David's men have a resounding victory. with that, as we said, these war games weren't games at all.
Well, that was going to be my next question. So they really weren't trying to be game-like. It was really
I don't know how it started, but it definitely got very serious very quickly. Now, it spilled over beyond this 12-on-12. So actually I skipped one. Sorry, Yudchas, go back one puzzle. So all of a sudden here we have Yoav ben Tsruya, who happens to be a nephew of David's. Right, he is fighting, he has two of his brothers fighting with him. And so all of a sudden, right, one of these brothers is Asael. Now, I'll just say that in the sources, we skipped over a little bit. There is a discussion as to this whole period. Was it that there was a 5-year break? Because it says that there was 2.5 years that Ish-bosheth was the king. It also says that there were 7.5 years that David was in Hebron. So where are the other 5 years? So that is a disagreement between Rashi and Tosfos. According to one opinion, it was 5 years before that David was on his own. And then only afterwards did Avner bring on Ish-bosheth. The second opinion is no, that this happened right away, and then there was a break in between until David was on his own, the only person in charge. So those are the sources we're skipping over. If you take a look at number 11, we're skipping to. So it says here that Asael was able to run fast like the deer. How fast could he run? So the Medrash tells us that he could run on top of the stalks of barley, and they wouldn't even break.
The text also says that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where?
And Asher was swift of foot, like a gazelle in the open field.
Right, but it doesn't say he could run across the barley.
No. I'm just saying, yes, we hear this in the text.
Right, but the fact, how fast was he? Right?
Okay, you're right. I don't have a measurement of how fast.
Right, so that's what we just added the Medrash, that he was that fast that he would be able to run on the barley. You ever seen the movie The Incredibles?
No.
So that's your homework. You'll see how fast Dash can run it. Okay.
So, isn't barley a wheat a growth like wheat?
Right.
So are we talking about on top of the barley or through the barley?
On top.
That's quite interesting.
It is. That's why I noted it. If it wasn't interesting, we would have just blown by it and been happy with just what the source said. The actual Navi said. So he was very, very fast. And he decides he's going to run down Avner because David should be in charge here. This Avner guy, he started this fight. So Yitzhak, V'yidof asah achrei Avner v'lo nata l'leches al hayamin v'al hasmol achrei Avner. He finally runs him down and he corners him. And Avner can't get by. He can't go right. He can't go left. So Avner, she's got him cornered. So Avner says, "Are you Asael, who I heard so much about? Said, that's me, all right." He says, "Do yourself a favor, kid. Get out of my way. You know, find an excuse. Turn right, turn left." Right, he said, or if not, you know, this is going to get ugly. So he said,
he threatens him directly.
Right. So first he says to him, kid, turn away. And he doesn't do it. So the next pasuk says, Vayosef od Avner Ba'asa. Said, get out of my way or I'm going to kill you. And if I kill you, I'm going to have a trouble stare looking at your brother in the face afterwards. So don't make me kill you. Get out of my way. Asal's not moving. So with that, he takes his spear and basically drives it through him. And Asal dies there on the spot. And all the people gather around him. But here the free Yoav Avishai Achri Avner Vashem Shmav Vehima Bo Ad Givat Amar Asher Al Pnei Giach Derech Midbar Givon. Now, of course, Asal's brothers see their brother killed, and they run after Avner, and they chase him, and finally they chase him down. By the time they chase him down, though, they're deep into Binyamin territory, and right now you have these pursuers from Yehuda who have cornered the general from Binyamin in Binyamin. Right now we have all that what it takes to start a civil war. You have two competing armies. You already have at least one dead guy lying there. You have inflamed emotions. And we've got a problem here. So Avner says to Yoav, you know this isn't going to happen. Have a happy ending. You know if we fight here, we're all going to be sorry at the end. So basically he says, listen, let's stop it right now. This has already gone too far. So Yoav says, you say, well, because had you not spoken right now, by morning we would have had a full-blown civil war here. So and with that, Yoav blows the shofar, and everybody stops. And that's the end of the fighting. So in fact, cooler heads do prevail. Avner and his people turn around and they retreat to Machanaim from whence they originally came from. So Yoav goes and he takes account and he lost 19 people plus Asoel. However, even though David lost 19 men in Absal, they killed 360 from the other side. So even though this didn't end up being a full-blown war, 380 Jews died through this. Vayisu es Absal vayikru bekever aviv asher beislechem vayechu kol ha'layla yov ashav vayar lehem bechevron. And they take Absal, they bury him in the family plot, and they return to where they came from. So where do we stand now? We have a totally split Jewish people. We have two armies. We have two kings. We have two generals. And they're definitely not getting along together. And somehow or another, out of this, we're going to have to pull together a country. Two sources to end. First, we'll look at number 12. Rav Avadi Yosef in the Abiya Omer quotes the Malbim, Vizel Lashono, שרוב ונמר שריגס אבנה היה לפקפי הדין שהם גורר אדם עשור, זה אינו, כי אבנה המיסו במוחמה, ששם היו עשור רודף היו רשאי להרגו. So he says that eventually we'll find out that Avner is going to be killed. So you might think that in fact, that Asol's brothers have a right to defend their brother who was killed. So he says, no, this was considered a war. And if I kill somebody in war, I am not held liable for that. So this point is literally a civil war going on. Now, a civil war that they were able to get control of, but still not a good situation.
How come there are no prophets or anybody that steps up and says something at this point?
Who is the prophet at this point?
Well, I'm saying it. This seems so antithetical to where we end with Yoshua, you know, coming in, conquering the land, and then setting up kings for ourselves. And now we have two kings, two armies, civil war.
How many years ago was that?
Well, it's a while, but...
How long is a while?
I can't give you an exact. A couple hundred years?
400 years?
400 years.
How are we affected by what happened in the 1600s?
I don't know how to answer that question. I'm sure there's some things that still affect us, but I can't give you a good example. My point is, we're supposed to be, you know, this chosen people, and it just seemed, and we were warned not to have a king. Okay, we went through with that, and it just seems all upside down here to me.
Right. Obviously, this is a bad situation, right? This fact that we have two, again, it's not that the Shaul David situation was hunky-dory either.
It was not. It was bad. But David always, he's the king. Shaul is the king.
Right. And now we can't figure out who the next king is. So you'll be happy to note that within a few prakim, everything will be all better.
Okay, good to know.
We end up, the Sifrei says that it says 19 plus Asael. The Sifrei says not really. It was 19 including Asael. So why did it say 19 and Asael? So the Yifkim have the David of the teacher Asael Ish by Asael. Asael Mechal Hoyer, he was one of them. He was as bad as losing 20 other people. He was a great warrior. It was a terrible loss for them. So that's where we stand right now. Right now we have this problem. We have two separate kings. We have a split in the nation. We have a split in the monarchy. We have a split in the army. And David somehow or another has got to put this together. So hopefully next week it will get a little better. Don't count on it.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Good night. Lila Tov.
Good night, everyone.